Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Rob Something SDR Show. This week, you might remember this dude from like one of those anthems of the summer. Back in 2008, the dude's name is Schwayze. The song was called Corona and Lime. It was fucking everywhere. He had an MTV reality show as well. Super cool dude. New album out. We bring him on the show. Just a fun vibe. Easy chat with him very much. So remember, we do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And you can watch for free anywhere you consume a podcast or on YouTube.com. Or use the code SDR at GasDigitalNetwork.com. You get a 7-day free trial. You get access to every episode we've ever done in HD, commercial-free, 5 days early. Maybe you're a big fan of Schwayze. You're like, holy fuck, I wish I heard that 5 days ago. And now you can if you go to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the code SDR. But really, all we want you to do is share it. Get it out there. I will tell you, we had the best month ever last month. So thank you for everybody to continuing to share and get the show out there. It means a lot to us. Here it is right now, the Schwayze episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoe. It's weed, I beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, who recently, for the first time in a while, came in studio with
me. Yes, sir.
And with my other co-host, James. How did you feel being around my other co-host and you? Did it make you, did you feel like you had to do battle or what?
First of all, I'm not going to fight Big J, who's 6'5", and whatever, was a bouncer and shit like that. And his name, his stage name has the word fucking big in front of it. No, it was great. This is we're just coexisting. It's wonderful. We came together and it was that much more of a show.
Yeah, it's nice when my wife and my girlfriend can get along. It
That's
makes
right.
me really happy. Okay, and Shannon, of course, always producing in her purple with a big purple thingy in the background. Looks more purple today than usual for some reason. Your
What's
light.
The purple thingy in the background?
The light looks purple to me. Am I crazy?
Yes.
It looks kind of bluish. It kind of looks like one of them crystals that Superman fucked with in that fortress.
Oh, yeah. Maybe put that in somewhere. Let's see what happens. See if we get up Jor-El. Let's see
yes.
what happens.
Hello, right, so Shannon. Now, I am your father.
I'll tell you this story. This is how I know this guy. I don't know him personally, but I know this is the story. It's well documented on the show that I am a fucking creep. We all know this, right? Why I'm a creep is I try to date girls way too young for me. One of the ways I do that is I listen to new song radio, pop radio, urban radio, whatever it might be. Pop, you know, they're playing hits of the moment so that when I go on dates with girls half my age, I can act like I know what I'm talking about, right? And we're going to go back. I think it's like 13 years ago because I've been doing this my whole life. I'm 50, soon to be 52. Two songs that were fucking everywhere, Corona and Lime and Buzzin', everywhere. And when I first heard Schwayze was going to come on the show, I'm like, oh, I fucking remember that dude. And those songs, really, dude, the truth is, just to start the interview, probably got me laid a half a dozen times because I'm like, oh, yeah, I know those songs. And that just fucking rolled with it. So thank you for letting me get into girls' pants who were definitely too young for me.
If you get me too'd, I hope I don't get in any trouble for that.
No, Shannon would have me too'd me years ago if it was possible.
I'm building my file.
So honestly, dude, that it is true that those songs were fucking everywhere. I mean, top Billboard songs, your first record. It's, I think, 13 years ago. Am I about right now?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
That's pretty wild.
2008,
which also I have other things to talk to you about, but that led to also getting a show of the same name on MTV.
Yeah.
Just a crazy out of the gate experience that had to be not only far exceeding anything you ever thought would happen, but God damn it, it had to be crazy. You're a young kid. You were single at the time. No kids. Now you have, I think, a 10-year-old. But that had to be a fucking batshit crazy time.
Yeah, looking back on it, it was crazy. Like, you know, when you're living in the moment, you're not really appreciating how wild it is. You're kind of just like riding the wave. But yeah, there was some definitely some crazy memorable times. And I can't tell you how many people come up to me like at shows. I lost my virginity to this song, or this is the first time I ever smoked was this song. Like, I'm not sure if I should be like, you know,
would it be wild? It? Would it be wild if every girl that said they lost their virginity to that song turns out being a girl that knew me? Would that be wild?
Oh my God. That'd be full circle, huh?
That'd be full circle, right? So now, when the album first came out, right? It was you and Cisco. It was two of you, right?
Yes, it was two
and of us. I believe, and I could be wrong with this because I'm not fucking don't know everything, but originally, was the band Schwayze and you were one of the guys, and then you kind of just became Schwayze and you were Aaron at first, or did it just always you were Schwayze?
Well, I was always Aaron at first, but when it comes down to the band, no, it was always I was Schwayze and he was Cisco, and it was a separate thing. You know, when we got signed, we were trying to figure out, because Cisco at the time was in another band. Right. He was in a band called White Star, and like, you know, that was his like baby, you know, like he'd been trying to break that band for 10 plus years. At the time, they had just got a VH1 reality show. So I was of the idea of like, you know, we were just getting signed. I was like, Cisco, like, you know, we should either be a group or we got to figure something out, because you're on every song on the first album. And he's like, no, I'll be the behind the scenes guy. You know what I'm saying? I got the White Star shit, but like I'll just be the cool producer friend. And then, so I was like, we're okay, fine. So as we're rolling it out, like we said, it was going to be Schwayze. Then like leading up to it, kind of like the White Star stuff kind of started to fizzle out right before my album was about to drop. And like, there's all this press about the Schwayze shit. And Cisco was like, hey, you know, can we do Schwayze and Cisco again? And like, it was already like, there was shit already printed. It was like, it's too late. So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of a marketing fuck when it came to that. Cause people were like, is it a group? Is it Schwayze? Is it, you know, but
I thought it was honestly like an Alice Cooper thing where, or a Marilyn Manson thing where it started out as, yeah, that was the person, but that was also the band. And then it just became kind of that person. You know what I mean?
That's kind of like what it ended up, but it was like, no, it was like, it was always, I was Schwayze. Then it was like, okay, I guess we're a group. And then, cause we were always a group, but it should have just been named Schwayze and Cisco from the jump.
Right. That's why I was confused. It's funny. I like his ideas. Like, hey, remember when I was really cool about not being on the record? Can we change that attitude? Cause all of a sudden I'm having second thoughts. It's like, dude, it's already printed. What are you talking about?
Exactly. All the press was already like, it was just like, it was a go. So that was like, I don't know, that was always kind of a weird thing, even in our relationship, but also to the fans, like, what's going on here?
I mean, hey, here it is 13 years later, I'm still fucking confused. So how about that?
You're not the only one, trust me.
Not as confused as those girls that you play this music to.
Well, thank God for confused girls, James, or I'd never get laid.
God. I think I have to go now, guys. It's been a good run on the show.
That's amazing.
All right, so now also, which is, it's fascinating, and not to dwell too much on the past, I want to talk about that last album, Surf Trap, and the new singles and stuff and whatnot, but interestingly, you had a very different vibe back then. You grew up in Malibu. I don't even know the difference in this, because I heard in an interview you make a clear distinction, and excuse me for my ignorance, of a trailer park versus a mobile home. I don't know the difference, but someone said in an interview you grew up in a trailer park, and you're like, well, a mobile home, but yeah, and I don't know the difference, but I'd love it. And in Malibu, so like, you think Malibu mobile, I don't know, but just kind of elaborate a little bit, please, sir.
All right, well, I mean, I'm not a professional at this at all, but you
but
know,
you made the distinction very clearly. That's all.
Well,
I'm
it was
saying.
One of those things, like, you know, like I grew up with my grandparents, and like my grandmother, you know, proud like Black woman, when people would say like, you live in a trailer, nah, mobile home, sweetie. So it's just ingrained in me to make that correction. But what I think it is, you know, a mobile home isn't on wheels, whereas a trailer is still on wheels. Like a mobile home is like a stationary, almost like, you know, it's on a plot, you know, but you just don't own the land that it's plotted on. But it's like, you know, there's in the mobile home I grew up, there's like $2 million mobile homes in this bitch.
Oh, okay. So it's like mobile homes.
It's a wild thing.
When you say a mobile home, like on a thing, kind of like something you might see in a trailer park. Am I right with that?
Out west, Ralph, trailer parks are way different than out here. Like when you hear in New York trailer park, you just think it's like Kid Rock's nephews missing teeth, spit tobacco. Everyone's having orgies where they wear Trump masks. It's not quite like that. I had some good relatives who were making more money than us who lived in trailer parks.
I mean, nowadays it's also the mobile home, the mini homes. That's everyone's gravitating towards that anyway. The smaller footprint, it seems to be, you know, instinctually going that way. But growing up in Malibu, when I first heard that first record, going back now, your vibe was very, and I said this, James made fun of me off the air. It's like, just like fucking chill California surfer vibe, dude. Like that's all the music was like that. I mean, you are the nickname given you was King of Summer. I mean, that all those songs felt like I should be on a beach somewhere drinking Corona and Lime. I mean, this felt that way. Very different than the music of the time.
Totally.
Right. Totally. And how did that whole process come about? Just a product of your environment?
That's exactly it. Like, you know, at the time, it was like 18, 19, 20, like those years, just like, you know, in Malibu, especially just running around. Like I tried to do junior college for a little bit. And each place I went to, I went to two different junior colleges and I had zero credits. So meaning like, I started off strong. And then before I knew it, I was running around. So it was literally, yeah. And then I linked up with Cisco after my second junior college attempt fail. I linked up with Cisco and we were just partying. I was going to his shows, his White Star shows, the band. I was going to, I was hanging out at the Malibu Inn. I was doing shows at the Malibu Inn. So yeah, it was just kind of like, we were just literally just talking about what we were going through. It was just like the best endless summer type of situation. You know what I mean? I was literally sleeping on Cisco's couch, which eventually I got a room. I eventually moved into Cisco, like one of his guest rooms. And we were just like living like a very hilarious, fun life. And we were just kind of documenting it all on music.
And I ask, cool. You're on the couch and then graduated to the room. Were other people in the room or did you have to earn your keep on the couch? Be like, if you don't spill shit around the table, we'll consider it in 2 weeks. If you're respectful with the oven and don't blow up the fucking Hot Pockets, we'll talk.
So pretty quickly, like I became like, as soon as Cisco and I started hanging and, you know, we started making music together, you know, I didn't leave. And I kind of like opted to like, you know, help him in any way, shape or form, be an intern, like whatever the fuck he needed. There was weed around. There was a studio. So I was willing to do anything just for those two things. So basically there was a dancer. So in Cisco's band, White Star, there was a person in the band that was just a dancer and he was like this like little chubby dude and he would just dance on a box.
That's cool. I remember back in the day, Arrested Development, half their crew were just people that were there to dance or stand around and stuff. So I get it.
There was that dude on the rocking chair with Arrested Development. Where then he just rocked in a chair. It's the coolest thing ever.
So like that, but that he had the room. So he was the person that I had to come and beat out the dancer.
Goodness. Yeah.
Wow, that's a crazy thing. Did you guys have like a duel or something, like a dance off? It's like, all right, Swayze gets the room. Sorry, dude.
No, they did that thing from The Dark Knight where they threw the stick.
Yeah, because you get the box. You could you could sleep on the box that you dance on stage with. That's where you can go now, dude.
No, fair enough. I think once we got the record deal, I think he got kicked out and like I graduated.
All right, so now to fast forward, last year you released, I think it was 2020, was Surf Trap was the last album, but recently you released a remake of Corona and Lime, and then you and Cisco also, I think it was in April, redid the whole album the first time in years on stage, right? So it was an embracing of the past, so to speak, and modernizing it a little bit.
Totally. Like, you know, I'm always thinking about the fans. Like, obviously, when I go and do these shows solo, I still get fans that are like, I just wish that you and Cisco would play, you know what I mean? And Cisco and I, we don't live too far from each other, so we still chat and all that stuff. So every once in a while, we'll try to, like, put something together for the fans, do like a, you know, like a reunion show like we did for that. We're playing a reggae festival coming up, I think in February also. And so, yeah, we'll do it for the fans every once in a while. And then that, for the 10-year anniversary, Cisco and I got together and like in 2 days, we made like, I want to say like 6 or 7 songs. So we have a whole bunch of unreleased songs too that will slowly roll out whenever the time is right. Or maybe never, who knows?
It's not bad blood. It just, I think you did your first 3 records together, right? It's something like that. So it just kind of dissipated at some point.
Exactly. Exactly. We're doing our own things. We're happy. We're both parents. And, you know, whenever we collab, we'll do it. If not, who cares?
Is your kid 10? Am I right? He's about 10?
He's 10. He turns 11 in, next week.
That's crazy. That's got to change your life. Better hope he's not doing no Corona and Lime at 10 years old. That fucking not a good thing, right? For sure.
No, he's a good kid.
You mentioned now that you're doing a reggae festival, and off air you talked a little bit about your new album gonna have a little bit of a reggae vibe. And I read somewhere that you were trying to get in touch with Skip Marley. Did that happen? Is this where this all happened? Like, how did that all? Is there a cohesion there? Or am I wrong?
Wow. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, good research.
You don't worry how I find out about things there, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, did I even say? Oh, yeah, I'm sure I did say that. But goodness. So I did a reggae festival out here in NorCal a few years back. And I think it was Stephen Marley that was on the bill. And during his set, he brings out all the grandchildren of Bob Marley. He's like, these are Bob Marley's grandchildren. And everyone comes out. That was a horrible Jamaican accent. And everyone comes out. And there's like kids from like literally like 3 years old all the way to like 17. Everyone takes the mic for a second, does like a little, and everyone's talented. It's ridiculous how talented this family is.
That's great.
But on the stage, I saw Skip, and before he was even doing anything, I feel like he was like 16. They thought he was a young kid. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, this kid's crazy. So backstage, I ran up to him. I was like, yo, Skip. I was like, I'm Shwayze. Nice to meet you. You're fucking insane. I didn't say it like that. And so fast forward, I didn't even know he was going to push, but fast forward, I see now he's killing it. So I'm trying to get a hold of him. Yeah, I haven't spoken to him since that one time backstage. I'm like the crazy.
Well, guess what? Fan. Shannon, bring him in. Here he is. Skip. No, I'm just kidding.
There's Skip. Hey.
What if like 35 like squares popped up in the Zoom? It's all the grandkids of the Marleys.
All the Marleys.
And then a wild card at the bottom. It's the old dude in the rocking chair from Arrested Development. He just pops in and doesn't say shit.
And then the guy that used to dance for Cisco comes in to finalize it all.
Yeah, yeah. And he just falls off the box.
All right, before we go any further, you know these guys. They've been a sponsor forever. It is Yo Kratom, home of the $60 kilo. What you do is simple. If you're a fan of Kratom, you're over the age of 21, we make it damn easy. You go to YoKratom.com, fuck any sort of discount codes. Who cares about anything? Just go there and get your $60 kilo. No more 120, 180. No more wondering how long has this crap been sitting on the shelf at the local bodega or at the local gas station. This is high-quality, curated Kratom at wholesale prices sent directly from Yo Kratom to you, and they have a bunch of different strains. You know I've talked about it forever. Shannon loves the train wreck one. It's like 11 different things mixed together. I don't remember the last time I was at Gas Digital and Shannon didn't have a jar on her that was filled with Yo Kratom's high-quality Kratom in that little, like it's like a mason jar she drinks it from. She loves it silly. Everyone that uses Yo Kratom will tell you, just great quality stuff, and you can't beat that price. That $60 kilo, it is unheard of. So go to YoKratom.com. All right, let's get back into it. So now, a big part of what happened with you, so I like the idea. You've described your music as feel-good music, and I agree, couldn't agree more than that, but the name of your company where you do everything is through is called Feel Good Entertainment. After your third record, I think you had to transition to being an independent artist. I'm not sure if it was your choice or the label's choice or cohesive choice or whatever, but that had to be a hard transition, correct?
Not really, because, it was just hard in the sense that, like, the label really pushed the fuck out of your shit. So, like, when you drop something, you have, like, a whole bank helping push your shit. Like, the realization that when you drop stuff now, it's just, like, on your own. Like, that was the hardest part. But, like, the actual transition of the workflow wasn't hard because, like, even when I was with a major label, we were, you know, we had our little teams and we were already hustling and working and, you know, we were almost being slowed down by, like, you know, the label decisions and shit like that. So I was happy to go independent. Cisco and I went independent together and we did, you know, an album, I think, directly afterwards. Shortly after that, we kind of went our separate ways, Cisco and I. But yeah, you know, I love being an independent artist. I mean, nowadays, even now from when I got left the label, there's so many more things for an independent artist, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do vocals for a lot of other artists too. Like I saw, what was that song, California, I think it was. I've seen your name pop up as like the vocalist on or doing a verse here and there on a lot of different artists.
Yeah, California Day. That was the homies, the Common Kings, like a dope, like, you know, Cali reggae type band. Yeah, I, like, you know, a lot of people reach out for verses or features, and I'm kind of selective with it. Like, I don't do, you know, nearly half as much that, like, I get requested for it. But if I feel
once you said that, you ruined James' next question. He was going to ask you to sing on his next record.
Yo, I would love to. My next comedy album, I just throw you in.
That would be sick, please.
All right, I'll save some pennies. I think you cost a little more than what my budget is, but we'll figure it out. I'll get a Kickstarter. Let's go. I'm from out west. We'll record it in a trailer park. Fuck you, Ralph.
You call it a trailer park. Call
yeah, stick it up a chooch.
Two boys in a trailer park.
Done. D-U-N, baby.
Oh, shit. Now I'm wishing I came into the studio with you guys. You guys are hilarious.
Yeah, we could. We almost made that happen because you just played, what was it, in the city, Mercury Lounge, where we almost had it in the city, but it didn't happen. We couldn't make that happen. I mean, and not to go off on a tangent, but you're still doing tons of shows every year. Like, you're a very busy dude, and now that we know that you're working on a new record as well, it's cool shit. But to go back to what I was saying, it's interesting because it's so now become the land of the independent artist. It's so much better for people to have their full creative freedom, but I get that. But there has to be elements that you miss from having that, like you said, with the big push, but also does it come with, like, because I look, as I've never recorded a song in my life, but I imagine it also comes with a little cachet that might make it easier to get out there when you're on whatever label you're on. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what it is. It's just the bank. It, you know, right. It's like everything's for hire nowadays. If I want to get a TikTok person to do a TikTok, like, I pay them, and then a million people do TikToks. If I want to get on Spotify playlist, you know, I pay somebody. If I want to get all the events, I got to pay a publicist. Those are things I didn't have to think about before on the label, because all that shit was in-house. And they're like, Swayze, like, the car is picking you up. You're going to fucking E! Entertainment tonight. Yeah, like, that whole switch, you know, it was a learning experience. But I think that's the reason I wanted to go independent, because I wanted to learn all this shit. Like, I wanted to actually do it. Like, you know, I don't like the idea of, like, dropping something off and have eight other people do some shit that I can do.
And being responsible for your own destiny is also a nice thing to say. You know, and related story, if I want to have sex, I got to pay someone to do it. So I know how you feel. I know exactly how you feel.
Remember the record label would pay for it? What, yeah, remember the good old days of Payola?
The record label would pay for it. Exactly. So your last album that came out a little while ago, Surf Trip, that was partly recorded during quarantine. So now I'm assuming this album that you're working on is also being recorded somewhat quarantine-y. Does that make it hard to have those cool beach vibes when the world's on fucking lockdown?
Wow. You know, not really, because I was like kind of looking forward to a vibe, you know, like if you're not making about music exactly about what's happening now, you know, for me, I can be imagining what I want or like, or thinking of a time, you know, but my quarantine, I'm not gonna like rub it in, but my quarantine was really amazing because I got rid of my place in New York and I came and bunkered out with my family over here in Malibu. And I was literally on like this little private beach, because beaches were closed, but I was on this private beach, like literally every day, like doing yoga, like zenning out and making music. So it was like a really good reset for me. So but the Surf Trap album, I made literally right before quarantine, like as the world got shut down. I think we had just finished like the last song like 3 days before. So yeah, I just finished it right before quarantine, and that was a fun album. I did that like in 2 weeks. I had my friend Paul Couture come out to LA, and yeah, just good music. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, it's funny. Like, I still have a lot of fans that think Swayze, and they only know about Corona and Lime and Buzzin'. And I love those fans that only know those two songs. But when you do dig in, I got tons of albums and tons of fucking albums.
Yeah, you've been consistently not only putting out albums, but also, like, as I said, you're showing up on other people's playlists. And it's really, singles here and there. You know, what was the one that, God, I can't think of it now. I know it was my brain is farting.
I did Traveling recently with Cisco and Mark
Traveling, that was a good one. I was just interesting to see. Love is Overrated is an older song, is the one I used to like a lot. But anyway, to go
Love
back
is
into
Overrated was my first ever, like, solo, like, song, like, single. Like, that was my first ever, like, okay, like, Swayze's by himself, here we go. And of course, I made it about fucking tonight, unfortunately. Sorry.
Hey, I'm all for it.
You gonna do?
You brought up the TikTok and all that other stuff that the kids are doing these days. But really, your career really launched, which shows us all how old we are. MySpace was your baby. That really was back when that mattered. is how you got out there so much, right? Was that you doing that, or was the label doing that?
No, that was all me. That was all me. Like, I had like a full, like, little, like, you know, MySpace was, it was so funny. Yeah, like, since when I would make music, and I feel like I was one of the first people to ever, like, really promote weed in such, like, a strong way. Because on my MySpace, like, people were like, you know, it's back, like, people were like, I was smoking nugs, like, smoke billowing out of my face. I was really pushing it back then. And I remember when we went to Jordan Schur, who ended up signing us over at Shurtone Geffen, he like was going through my MySpace. Like that first day we were sitting there, he was looking at the MySpace, and like he could see the lifestyle, like with the music behind it. And literally he signed us that day. He was like, all right, you know. But yes, like it was all about MySpace. Every time we'd make a song, we go straight home, upload it to MySpace, and I'd have like, I'd be stoked to be like, oh shit, like we got 100 listens tonight. Like we got 5 downloads. Like, let's fucking go. We're blowing up. Like 20 downloads. We were just dropping. I was just dropping shit like that. And it was like the best feeling ever.
Yeah. It's a cool vibe. Again, it goes back to full circle now where everybody is responsible for their own shit now for the most part, which is pretty wild.
Exactly.
Also, you said this in many interviews that in the beginning, which we talked about a little earlier, you were not embraced by the hip hop community. And then one day you just all of a sudden became embraced. You're more pop initially. Do you remember when you saw that transition starting to happen where all of a sudden like, oh, well, you're cool now. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you remember when that happened?
Well, I'll rephrase that. Like, I didn't think that I would be accepted by the hip hop community. Like, I was a little insecure about dropping music because like I was just, you know, a black kid from Malibu. And, you know, I was like, you know, a bit insecure about that. But, you know, maybe I was embraced, but you know, like I remember one thing that I remember one time I was doing an interview for MTV or something, and The Game came up to me. He was like, oh, Schwazy, what up? And that was like a moment I was like, okay, like get a little love, let's go. But that was like cool. Way back in 08. But you know, but since then, over the years, a lot of people have come up to me like in the hip hop game and saying that I inspire them to get in the game and blah 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 blah, all this cool stuff. So I love it, man. It's cool, man. Again, it's just feel good, mellow music, you know?
Right. It definitely is. They all have that just like you want to sit on a beach somewhere and relax. But also, I read that your influences are all over the place. You mentioned Bob Marley, but Red Hot Chili Peppers, Led Zeppelin. So who was bringing that music around for you as a kid that became part of your, you know, base?
I mean, I had tons of girls at school. My grandmother brought in all the Bob Marley and the oldies, but all the rock shit probably came from like, yeah, kids at school and stuff. You know what I mean? Or I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think that's really where it came from. And Chili Peppers, I don't know. The Chili Peppers, I was absolutely in love with. I mean, that was my band for a long time, like all through college. Like that was my shit. And I would love actually to do a collab with Anthony Kiedis. Shout out Anthony Kiedis.
I just heard this week. I don't know if it's been around for a while. I just heard it this week that Frusciante's finally back in Chili Peppers.
I just broke it to you 2 days ago.
Oh, that's where I heard it. Is that where I heard it?
I've got tickets to see him in Vegas next year. It's not even a debate. My boys go, we have a ticket. We'll see you there. I go, all right.
That's cool. That's right. You're saying their albums without him suck, so it's good that he's back in.
I'm so excited about that. I've actually had the opportunity to kick with Frusciante a couple of times.
Like, he's awesome.
He's
one of my 4 favorite ever, dude. The best. He's the best.
Okay, there's Frusciante.
No, guitar players, oh, Ralph. Guitar players. Are you on the short list with Frusciante, Hendrix, Prince, and Eddie Hazel? What are we doing here?
Have you heard me play my 3 songs that I know on guitar?
Play it. I'm sure you play one note like Neil Young, but not quite as passionate.
I think I know 3 songs, maybe 4 if I really pushed it. That's about it. I know you can play, James. I can't play at all. All right, before we go any further, if you are an auto mechanic or some guy that just loves to work on his car, how have you not heard about this place? RockAuto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices for 20 damn years. 20 years, they are bringing you the best possible prices. The one-stop shop for everything auto parts. No more talking to counter guys who need to order parts or don't really know what you need or maybe bring out the wrong thing and get confused and blah, blah, blah. It's just a hassle. And then on top of all that, you're going to pay storefront markup. So why deal with any of that shit? Head over to rockauto.com. You can easily find anything you're looking for, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just some dude working on his car. Everyone has the same access to the same incredible pricing, at rockauto.com. So all the car guys that are listening, maybe you're in your car right now listening to this show. When you're done, go to rockauto.com, and you're going to have so much fun looking at all that shit that they offer. It's rockauto.com. No promo code needed. That's how well they know they're doing. That's how confident they are in their pricing. It is rockauto.com. But when you order, let them know you heard about them on the SDR show. All right, let's get back into it. So the new album you're writing right now, what's the plan? Is it coming out before the end of the year, early next year? Are you lining up tour dates? What's happening?
The album I'm dropping now, I'm probably going to drop a single before that reggae festival I have coming up. So around February, I'll probably drop a single. And then this summer, I just plan to go like crazy.
It's weird when every choice is up to you. It's got to be a little weird. Like when you want to drop a single, you can fucking drop a single. It's great. A strange thing to have that ability. It's got to be weird.
Not anymore. It's like now it's norm. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes, for a minute, like it was, but now it's norm. And I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, everyone's their own corporation. Like, and that's how it should be, you know? And if you can get a TikTok or some shit, somehow your shit goes viral, fucking kudos to you. It's amazing. I'm blessed. I have like a fan base. I'm still trying to grow it, obviously. So, you know, I think that along with video, like dropping songs, like your visuals have to be in order. Like, I think everything has to be in order. So on this next album, I'm going to have crazy visuals. It's going to be a good album. I think it's going to be like a big summer for me.
I also saw that in December you're playing in fucking Hawaii, and I'm like, God, that seems like the ideal place for you to be in, to go see you playing. I think it's December 10th in Hawaii. God damn it, this sounds like a cool thing to do.
Well, that's why I'm so blessed, like with the music I make, obviously, because it's like, you know, it was birthed from Malibu, was birthed from like this beachy like summer vibe. That means like, but I just finished doing a Florida tour. I've been out to Bahamas. They always bring me to these places
right.
that are like that vibe. And then like, there's like, you know, beautiful ladies like, I love your music. I'm like, this is the sickest job of all time.
Yes.
I am so happy. Like I got into this genre just organically. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now you know why I'm such a bitter Jew. It's like exactly the opposite of that. I don't get to do any of that shit.
You do okay. Also, why'd you have to bring in Judaism? You just say bitter. Why'd you have to throw Jews that shit in?
Jews are bitter. Come
why
on.
Play into the people who hate Jews even more? See, I told you.
He's a bitter guy. There he goes.
All
he's
of them are.
It.
They're God still holding it. On to those things of the past.
That's so funny.
So also, you did a movie, right? You were in a movie called God's Not Dead or something. So is acting a thing that you're moving towards as well?
Yeah, I've always wanted to act. I even when I was a kid, I wanted to act. You know, but I wasn't good at going to the auditions as a kid. Like I just hated that shit. So like that kind of went on the back burner, and then, you know, music kind of started popping off like into high school kind of shit. So, but yeah, I have been, I shot another movie recently, called Deltopia. It's great. Like there's a whole bunch of dope young actors in it. I'm like the old guy in the fucking movie, which is wild.
Well, first of all, I think you're like 36, so go fuck yourself.
Whoa. No, but I'm saying it's all young, like all these young, like Disney actors and shit. So that's gonna be crazy. I also just did like a couple episode guest star on this Netflix show called Lincoln Lawyer. You know, there was a Matthew McConaughey movie, Lincoln Lawyer. So they made a show about it. So yeah, I'm just trying to dabble. I'm doing Law and Order. I've done shit over the years, bro. Like I would love to. A goal of mine is to get on a series, like a dope TV series, like because I really do get excited like on set. It feels like when I first started making music, you know what I'm saying? And so yeah, that's something that I'm definitely trying to do is much more.
That's cool as shit. That's really just a fucking guy living his life, James. Unlike you and I, God damn it.
Maybe I'm doing great. I'm drinking coffee out of a Sandman comic book cup. I got shows. I got brand new Yeezys.
He just said he's the old guy. He's the old guy in the room, and I'm fucking 20 years older than him. I mean, yeah, God damn it.
You scream. You know what you sounded like? You sounded like a bitter ... person because I don't see religion, creed, or color. I am Robert Kennedy's vision of America, my friend.
You're always doing the PC thing, James. Look at
I am RFK reincarnated.
Here we go. I agree with all that. I love that.
I want to bring it to a total 180 topic. It's nothing to do with your music. I just want to get two other guys' opinion. And Shannon, you could chime in on this as well. I'm going to ask you this.
Is it about RFK?
No, it's about this, and I'm sorry, Shannon. It's about my running, and I want to ask this question, okay?
Schwayze, I'm going to give you a little background. I was fucking 70 pounds heavier. But I've always been thin in my life. I got depressed, gained a lot of weight. Now I lost most of it. I post a lot on my social about running, about what I've been doing, losing my weight, eating right, blah, 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 right? All these comics shit on me all fucking day for trying to make a change. But I notice only the fat ones.
Yeah.
And yet Luis J. Gomez, my business partner, who's a comic, puts up his pussy ass Brazilian jiu-jitsu nonsense every day. No pussy one shits ass. On him on that. But because they shit on my running, and it bothers me.
Because he can hit them and put them in chokeholds. What are you going to do?
No, we can't.
What are you going to do with your running shoes? You're going to
run
you're
away.
Gonna,
hit him and gonna, run away.
What are you going to do, pre and
Fontaine? You think Tim Dillon can catch me?
Oh, he'd be done in two steps.
It's just
you know who doesn't bust your balls? This
you
kid
know,
right
because
here.
You can run. My answer to all of it is, come on the fucking run, you fat bastard.
Yeah, let's have a running duel. Let's settle it on the track, boys.
There's nothing manly about running. There's nothing. If it was a, that's what it is. There's nothing manly about running. I guess that's what it boils down to.
Don't worry about that. Congratulations, you're healthy. You lost 70 pounds, you said?
Yeah, I lost 70
pounds. Look at him. Hey, look at this handsome boy.
Hey, listen, fuck everybody else.
That's right.
I've been trying to.
Yeah. Send him a new single to play this weekend.
All right, we got to do the first, Shannon. We're almost out of time.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the STR Show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. We ask every guest this since the dawn of the show, almost 7 years ago now. It's amazing how long the show's been on the air. We ask you about your first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll. By that, we mean the first concert you went to, ideally on your own volition, but whatever you think of when you think of the first concert you went to.
That's funny. My uncle was married to one of the Pointer Sisters, Bonnie Pointer.
Amazing.
So it was actually the Pointer Sisters. It was the Pointer Sisters. I saw them, you know, super young.
Let me ask you a serious question. When you found out you were going, did you say, "I'm so excited"?
Come on, buddy.
I had no idea. I had no idea what the hell I was going to check out. But right. It was
did
awesome.
You enjoy it? Did you like it?
I loved it. I loved it. They were amazing.
How old are you?
Neutron Dance.
Neutron Dance.
Neutron Dance, baby. Let's go.
How old were you when you went to go see them?
I think
I'm
like
10. Okay, cool.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't the first drug you ever did.
Oh, after weed.
Unless weed wasn't your first drug, but the first, because almost everyone's first drug is weed.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, it was mushrooms.
Mushrooms. Okay. How old were you?
I was probably like 16, 17.
And did we enjoy it?
Yeah, but you know, as kids, like you overdo it. Like you don't do it the right way. You're just like, you're trying to eat it. So like, I was like, literally took an eighth of like freaking shrooms and orange juice because like you're supposed to like, that's supposed to heighten. And like I had weed. So I'm just like eating this fucking shit. Like, yeah, I was like tripping balls. Like it was the most insane situation. I was on the beach, but it was amazing. It was like, it was the first time I'd seen Earth like bend and things.
After you woke up from your haze, you go, cron and lime. And then that's how the whole thing.
No, I probably ate more.
There it is.
And now the first time you had sex.
I'm just like things like Eon. I'm just kidding. Let's just think. First time I had sex.
Can I predict? Can I do an over under?
Sure.
I know
over
my
under 14 and a half I'm going under.
I was going to say my instinct was saying 14, but now just to be different from you, I'm going to say 15.
I was thinking 16.
Okay, you're going over. Hear. Two overs and one under. Hit me.
It was 15.
Boom!
The sportsbook lost by a half a point.
And by the way, if you would have kept your mouth shut, James, I would have been 14 and I would have been wrong.
It's fine, baby. I'm Caesar's Palace. I just want to ensure action on the game.
Okay. And was it a one-off thing? Was it a girl you were dating?
It was a one-off thing. It was funny. Because all the girls at the time, like, thought that I had already had sex. Like, you know, people thought that I was a slut. You know what I mean? And I was like, I've not done anything, guys. So there was this one girl that kind of lived in the park, in the mobile home park. Mm-hmm. And I beat her in a game of tennis. Like there was a wager on tennis. Like,
wow.
Can't sound any
more Malibu than this, but continue.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't play any tennis. She was on the tennis team. I didn't, and she was great above me. I didn't play any tennis, but I was like, you know what I mean? I was trying to get this. But she wanted me to be on this like student council thing, like, you know, some sort of thing to bring my friends and get involved. Okay. I was like, all right, I'll do that if whatever. And I won. And that's how I lost my virginity.
And you beat a girl having never played tennis.
Yeah.
She was on the tennis team and you won.
Pussy gonna make you do some crazy shit right now.
Could you think that she threw the game because she wanted you to get in her pants?
Point shaving.
That is very possible.
I mean, that seems more logical than you actually just being a natural at tennis out of nowhere.
True.
I beat a girl in fifth grade in Foursquare to go to the end of the year dance. It was a big deal. People were rooting for me. I had no tooth right here and big Coke bottle glasses like a nerd in all times, but especially like in Back to the Future type. And I won and people went banana. They were like, yeah.
I don't even know. First of all, I like that you singularized it to banana and not people went bananas, which is a little strange.
No banana.
What the fuck is Foursquare? Should I know what that is? I have no idea what that is.
Out west, you'd have these four squares like at the playground. Yeah. And then you'd get like a big ball. It would be like a bigger bouncy ball. And you deal it and you could go four way the action. And I think there's standard rules, but we were like wild kids. So if you were like the dealer or whatever, like serving, you could make up rules. You'd be like, no baby bouncies. You can't hit it with your blah, blah. And it got real stupid.
Okay.
But I ended up winning. I knocked her out. It was a head up match. And because I got denied by eight girls in a row for the dance.
Oh,
and that's
my
why
God.
I'm still scarred with women. I had
First
to win
all,
in Foursquare.
This
square.
Doesn't sound like a real sanctioned sport to me. Let's start with that.
Well, I don't think I don't think FIFA is backing this. I also
like that after eight girls said no, you're like, no, I think number nine is the magic number.
Someone suggested I play her in Foursquare.
Oh.
One of the girls who broke my heart. I'm looking at you, Dina.
All right. That rounds up all three. Let's do this. You could follow him at Schwazy. Schwazy.com as well has all that info. As I said, there's dates on there. You're going to be in Hawaii on the 10th of December, but in February, you got that reggae festival. Last album was Surf Trap, but you've been dropping singles. The remake or the remix of Cronenline with that. I'm not going to pronounce your name right. Is it Hyrie?
That's right.
Holy shit. I would have never guessed I was going to get it right. This is my day. She's got a cool voice and she's fucking hot as shit. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
God
she's
damn.
Beautiful. Yeah,
oh,
she's beautiful.
It hurts my eyeballs. We should see if I can get her to fucking fall a victim of the Ralphie swagger. I doubt it'll happen though. Anything else?
We need players Foursquare.
Yo, we should all play Foursquare. There's four of us.
Anything else I'm not plugging, sir, before we go around the room?
I just dropped a song just a couple days ago with my friend Grandview called These Days. It's out now. Just get ready for a big summer.
From the king of summer. All right, James, your plugs.
Yo, man, you got to check out all the podcasts. Commissioner Comedy Podcast. My new one should be dropping in January with Shuli called Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing. We interview comics about bombing. But, yo, you know what just debuted at number one? My record. The Check Spot, number one, it's been out like a week. It's the dopest. It's me doing stand-up, answering questions from the audience while they pay their bills, the worst part of the comedy show. Fuck yeah, everybody. We did it. We did it. Dance Congrats. With it. The Check Spot. Download it now. We were number one. Yo, we're behind Cosby now. Yo, I can't be behind Cosby. I can't.
Cosby?
10 years ago, maybe, but not now, dog. Fuck him, all right? So the Check Spot. download it and share it with everyone. Let everyone know that your boy took a chance and is playing jazz music, baby. I'm Miles Davis. Bloop, bloop, bloop,
bloop, bloop. Congrats, wow. baby. That's great.
I think at the end of that, James had a stroke. Okay, Shannon, your plug,
go to Miles, baby.
Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have people on from all walks of life, comedians, musicians, reality TV stars, porn stars, etc. Tell their personal stories about their worst dates, times they've gotten into a street fight, and experiences with the paranormal. Actually, right after this, I'll be recording with Lisa Ann, the original MILF porn star.
Oh, my goodness. Hey,
that's good. She was just on SDR. Right. That was great. So now, Swayze, do not give any indication when I ask this.
I'm going to cover them up. But I mean,
we're going to ask you a question. Do not react to any of our answers, which is, do you believe in ghosts? And I am going to say an absolute yes. James, what do you say?
This is a layup. This is a yes.
Shannon?
Yes.
Yes. And now, do you believe in ghosts, sir?
Yes.
That was a finger roll, baby.
We all knew that one was coming around. All right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness that comes out every Monday with the founder of Juice Press is called the GSP, the Good Sugar Podcast. And by the way, as I said this, I think on the last live show, we just finished our best month ever listenership wise. And I found this out, which it's, I only found that out because an ad sales company hit me up. Apparently, we are in the 0.5%, top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world. That's fucking crazy. I did not know that. It feels great to know that. So thank you for everyone for sharing this show. And honestly, dude, I knew from watching a couple interviews, it was going to be a pleasure to have you on. I knew it was going to be easy. And what was the name? I didn't know the name of the new song. Say the new song again. We'll add it to our playlist. What's the new song?
California Day.
Oh, that's the new one. It's California Day is the new one.
Which one? Which new one are you talking about?
You just dropped 2 days ago.
I'm sorry. The new one is called These Days. The brand new one is called These Days.
These Days. All right. So we'll add that.
And it's by the artist named Grandview.
Grandview. And you're doing a vocal on that.
Yeah. And Grandview is actually Jordan Belfort's son.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look at that.
Holy shit. All right. Let's rewind.
So now he's doing music and he actually just came on tour with me. Super talented cat. I hopped on a song for him. So give him some love for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, awesome. So we'll add that to our playlist. Mm-hmm. And honestly, dude, that's pretty good, James. Not bad.
That's really good.
All right. Honestly, thank you so much, Jude. We'll see you next time on the SDR show.
You've been listening to the SDR show.